Amen. Hey, thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning, guys. Loving it. It's great to gather together as community and encourage each other and, challenge each other as well, I hope. I want to ask you a question this morning as we get into the message. Are you a thinker or a feeler? Have you read my notes? You're cheating. Actually, Jude's right. I don't think it's possible for us to be just one or the other. You know, we all think and we all feel. But there is kind of a spectrum, I think, of how we predominantly experience life. Some of us will learn and experience things more powerfully through our intuition and our emotions, while others of us engage more naturally with information and data that we kind of process in our minds. And what this means is that two people can find themselves in exactly the same situation at the same time, but experience it very differently. Just over a week ago, I was at the Gold Coast with some of the youth leaders from Mosaic, and I got to see this reality firsthand. In the exact same moment, some of us experience life one way, while others of us experienced things quite differently. Now, I'm sure that if you ask each of these leaders if they thought that the DC Rivals hypercoaster was safe, they would both say yes. And if you ask them if it got their adrenaline pumping, again, they would both say yes. Yet for one of them, what they felt was so much more powerful than the other. So much more powerful, in fact, that the experience became scary instead of thrilling. So whose experience was right and whose was wrong? You can't say that one person's experience there was right and the other was wrong. What they experienced was what they experienced. In fact, it would be wrong for one of them to get off the roller coaster and try and say to the other that what you experienced was a mistake. It's not valid. It's not reality. We don't do that on a roller coaster. But I think sometimes we can do this as Christians to each other, when we experience God differently to each other. You know, each of us naturally will learn and experience life differently to others. And one of the mistakes we can make is to get so attached to our own way of seeing and being that we don't recognize the value and the validity of what others are experiencing. As I've already mentioned, for some of us, the majority of our learning will come through the way we experience life intuitively and through our emotions. But for others, it comes through our intellect. And it's not a case of right or wrong. It's a case of us being different, created different. Well, today we're looking at discovering the sacred through our intellect. And I wonder this morning, how do you feel about that? It's kind of ironic, isn't it? We're talking about intellect. I'm asking you, how do you feel about that? But does the idea of connecting with God intellectually excite you or make you feel sleepy? Your answer may give you some indication of where the intellectual pathway sits for you. But regardless of whether you think you're an intellectual or not, I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm asking lots of questions this morning. Who do you think needs to hear a sermon about the intellectual pathway more? Someone who is an intellectual or someone who thinks they're not? A thinker or a feeler? In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." And when Jesus says, love the Lord with all your mind, who do you think he's speaking to? Is it just the intellectual that he wants to hear this? Or is it all of us? It's all of us, isn't it? Right? All of us need to understand the role that our mind plays in our faith. And all of us need to worship God both in spirit and in truth. Jesus wants all of us to know him more fully. And how we understand with our minds is part of that. For some of us, it will be the most powerful way we connect with God. But for all of us have been given the ability to understand God and to understand the world in which we live with our minds. Proverbs chapter 2 says this, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe." Concentrate on understanding. Tune your ears. Search for it like you would for silver. Cry out for insight. Gain knowledge of God. There's so many different ways of saying keep learning. Keep seeking to understand and even ask God to help you understand. We aren't called to be an uneducated, mindless, naive group of people, are we? The scriptures encourage us to keep growing, not just in our attitudes, but in our understanding. But why? Why? Why does this matter? You know, I think one of the great misunderstandings about our intellect is that it's just head knowledge. It's just information. As though somehow our intellect or our mind is an unspiritual part of us. But that is so wrong. Our intellect is a very powerful part of our spiritual makeup. Now, in someone whose dominant spiritual pathway is the intellectual pathway, when they learn something new about God, they don't just experience it in their head. It actually stirs in their heart. It stirs in their spirit. Verse 10 says, "Knowledge will fill you with joy." The intellect can be a very powerful spiritual pathway, allowing people to go deeper with God, knowing him more fully. But it's also more than just growing in our knowledge of God. As we read Proverbs 2, we see that it speaks of understanding wisdom, of making wise choices and knowing what is good and right and just. See, we are called to grow not just in our understanding of God, but also in our understanding of the world that we live in and then how the two relate. As we study history, science, psychology, anthropology, theology, sociology, all the other ologies, language, culture, church history, ethics, we can learn new and better ways of doing things. And we can learn how not to repeat the mistakes that have been made in the past. All of this is something that God wants us to pursue and explore and grow in. Think of the ways that we are learning to better care for creation at the moment. Think of the ways that we are improving our methods of international aid and development. Think of breakthroughs in medicines. Think of mental health first aid courses and peace-wise training. Think of our need to be informed as consumers and how we can reduce slavery. Think of our understanding of economic empowerment and international tax evasion by corporations. The list goes on and on. There are so many ways that engaging our intellect teaches us not just about who God is, but how we can live more in line with his kingdom and his values. It isn't just a small group of us who need to engage our intellect. It's all of us. We are all able to grow and get better at being disciples when we invest in our intellect. And when we see it, not as a separate thing, but as a core part of our spiritual identity. It is a pathway for all of us. We need to understand its power for strengthening our faith in Jesus and growing us as disciples. This morning we've got a video clip, a testimony from Pastor James, who identifies as an intellectual. Let's take a look at this.
My name's James. I'm the pastor for 1030 Congregation, and I would class myself as an intellectual when we consider the pathways. And I say that because I have always been fascinated with the concept, the idea of God, formulating as big a picture I can of God, and really delving deep and connecting with God. I think I first saw this when I connected with the scriptures and God's word. And for me, that's where I couldn't get enough of God. That's where I would go to. That's where I saw God. I found life there and had a real passion for it and desire for it. And along the journey, there have been so many times where it's really spoken to me. So I remember the first time that I asked the question about the problem of pain and suffering and how you think about that, how you think through that. Can God be all-powerful and all-loving and yet allow evil to occur at the same time? How does that happen? And really putting your brain to work on that and coming up with thoughts and ideas that help you to consider what you see and what you know of God, and bringing those together in a holistic way, in a complementary way. That's what I love doing, finding connection. There was a moment at Bible College where, for the very first time, the entire story of the Bible clicked. I think before that, I thought it was just a broad collection of various stories, bits from here and bits and there. But to see that God is weaving a story from Genesis right through to Revelation, and being able to be conscious of that story, where the judges fit, where the prophets fit, why Jesus' blood is so important in the New Testament, the structure of the church, how it relates to the Old Testament covenants and the people of God. Just linking all that together, life-changing. So if you're exploring the intellectual pathway, curiosity is the number one thing I think you need. Being able to sit with ideas and not let go of them, but to actually hold on to them, to wrestle them, to want to seek a conclusion and some kind of answer. So it's all good and well to sit in the paradox and sit in the grain in the middle and not have answers at times. But seeing things through, so recognizing and knowing that if God is true, if God is reality, then we shouldn't be afraid of exploring any idea or anything. So being curious, looking for connections between things, and never being afraid of keep digging. So some of the greatest breakthroughs I've had are when the world will present an argument against God, something that would steer you away from God, but as you look at it deeper and delve deeper, being able to reconcile that, and not just to to get around it, but to see that there's life and truth there, and God actually meets those needs in a way that's far more significant than anything else is amazing. Never underestimate your brain. People will often say, oh, I can't do that, or that hurts the brain. Never underestimate your brain. You are created fearfully and wonderfully, and God has put such capacity into you to think about these things and process these things, and God actually meets us at an intellectual level. There's so much truth He gives us to wrestle with, so dig deep.
Dig deep. Did you catch how James described the moment when he said he first understood the big story of the Bible and the way that God was working through history? Did anyone catch what he said? It was life-changing, he said. And sometimes we neglect how valuable and how powerful the intellect and knowledge can be for people. Recently, I was sharing with someone that I thought it would be helpful for us at Mosaic to look at some of the ways the teachings of Jesus have brought about radical changes in our world. And I was reflecting on the reality that we live in an age where young people are growing up hearing lots of voices through media, social media, through their peers, but even through teachers and university lecturers that don't just say Christianity is unintelligent. They go further and say Christianity is harmful or regressive. And as I look at that, I go, that's rubbish. That's not my understanding of Christianity. But why do I believe that? Where do I get that from? And thinking about things like hospitals, free and indiscriminate education, democratic government, the abolition of slavery, even the principle of being innocent until proven guilty, and many of the things that we value so much about our culture actually find their roots and their origin in followers of Jesus who saw a gap between the kingdom and their present reality, and they chased after a better future. In my mind, highlighting these things, the very real impact of the gospel in our world will be helpful for people who are being told a different story. But the person I was talking to hated this idea, saying, I can't think of anything more lifeless. People don't need more information. Now, I think it's certainly true to say that information alone isn't enough, but it can be powerful. And more importantly, the Holy Spirit can use it powerfully. And part of my own testimony is that growing up, I didn't have a very profound personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I always believed in God. I always identified as a Christian, but I rarely felt God. You know, I rarely heard Him speak in a way that I understood back when I was younger. And so at that time, I still considered that I had a strong faith, and it was largely an intellectual faith. Now, there were many elements to this, but I can remember in high school that the more I learned, the more I studied, the more convinced I became that God had to be real. And my brain couldn't get over some of the gaps and the challenges in the theory of atheistic evolution. Now, the idea of moving from absolutely zero life to what we see in the world around us now without any design, any input, any guidance just blew my mind. And the more I looked into the science of it, the more I actually believed that God had to be there. He had to be involved. But it wasn't just in science. It was in history. It was looking at ancient cultures, as well as things that my dad would point out. You know, my dad was great when the news came on and over dinner looking at different issues and challenges in the world, and he would point out the wisdom of God's teaching. And he would point out the way that where we follow God's commands, we don't end up with some of the problems that we see. In this season of life for me where I didn't seem to feel God or notice him in the present very much, the intellectual pathway was very powerful. It was significant. There are countless stories of people who have come to faith largely through their intellect. Author Lee Strobel is one example. And prior to becoming a Christian, he was an award-winning investigative journalist, and he was the legal editor for one of the major newspapers in the US. And when his wife became a Christian, he was a self-confessed atheist at the time. When his wife became a Christian, he set out to use his investigative skills to prove that Jesus wasn't who Christians claimed him to be. But by the end of it, by his own research, he was convinced that Christianity was the real deal. Eventually, he published the book that's on the screen, an international bestseller, The Case for Christ. Our intellect can be powerful for our faith formation. To neglect it is dangerous. As James highlighted in his testimony, we will all face questions about our faith. And we will face questions in life. There will be people who will want to help us doubt Christianity. There will be people who throw questions at us. If all we listen to is the doubts, the questions, sometimes even lies about Christianity and who God is, without ever engaging our own intellect, without exploring it for ourselves, where does that leave us? You know, it can leave us feeling as though our faith is unintelligent, that it doesn't have good grounds. There's no data, no information, but that's not true. Perhaps when life is going really well, perhaps when our experience of God through other pathways is really strong, that may not be the end of the world, but when times get tough, when our emotions are pulling us in other directions, our intellect is so vital. It can steer us away from poor choices. It can keep us confident in our faith, even when we're not experiencing what we'd like to. Now, I say here that our intellect can help us make good choices. I want to pause for a moment and just point out that this doesn't automatically happen. I mean, being smart, being knowledgeable, doesn't automatically mean that we make good choices. And I think probably the biggest risk for those whose dominant pathway is the intellectual pathway is that in getting very excited about learning something, they can make the mistake of thinking that means they are growing spiritually. And that isn't automatically true. See, Christianity is about following Jesus. And learning about following Jesus is not the same as following Jesus. Yeah? It's very easy for us as human beings, with all this information and Bibles and Bible studies and books and devotionals and podcasts, for us to get like fat sheep. I mean, we can feed and feed and feed and feed without actually seeing transformation. We can read about Jesus' teachings, get excited about them without building them into our life. I want to just pick on an easy example this morning. I think it's easy because if I say this, I don't think anyone's going to argue with me here. Jesus doesn't want us to abuse those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Does anyone disagree with that? Right, easy. So there are several places we can go in Scripture to see this. It's not complicated. You know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That would be one. Now, how many of us here have heard of Baptist World Aid's ethical consumer guides? They have one for fashion and they have one for electronics. Now, this is an unapologetically Christian organization in our nation. And they've been on the Today Show in the last year, I think it is, talking about this stuff. They are respected outside of the Christian realm. Their information is readily available. And I don't think that there'd be many of us in this room who could stand here and say, I'm unaware of the problem of human trafficking in our world. I'm unaware of the problem of slavery and servitude and the link to consumerism. I would struggle to think that there are people in this room who aren't aware of these issues. But here's a rhetorical question. Do you actually take that information and embed it into your choices and into the way you live your life? I want to tell you, I think there are only two of the major brands of smartphones out there that Christians should have. And even those two companies are not perfect, but they are long, long way ahead of some of the others. Yet sometimes we choose the cheapest phone. And it's people at the other end that are paying the cost for us. The scriptures are clear on these issues. The research is there. The information is done. But the question is, are we willing to embed it into our life? Are we willing to refuse to take part in the abuse of people? Understanding doesn't automatically lead to obedience and right living. Okay. That's the big risk with our intellect. We can learn, we can get excited, but not actually live it out. I want to close this morning by going back to the picture of Mandy that I put up earlier, of her fear on the roller coaster. Now, I haven't actually put the picture back up. But I want to share a secret. That was not the first time that she went on that roller coaster. I don't have a picture of the first time she went on that roller coaster, but I was sitting next to her. I wish I had that picture because it was so much worse than the one that I put up earlier. Now, I'm 34 years old. I've seen a few things. I have never seen someone so terrified in my life. I was sitting next to Mandy on this ride, and I'm kid you not, mid-ride, and I mean, you know, I'm in the midst of the thrill of the ride. I'm looking at her going, is it possible for someone to die from fear? I was scared for her. Now, normally, you know, on a roller coaster, you let out a scream, sometimes involuntary, you know, by the thrill of it. You get that, right? Okay, so halfway up the first climb, the very start of the ride, that's when Mandy's panicking and making noises. By the time our carriage was over that first crest, silence. And silence for the whole ride. I've never seen anything like it. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you think it was how she felt about that ride that made her get on it a second time? Or do you think it was the power of her mind? I can tell you it's not how she felt about the ride. If you're going to follow Jesus into all the things that he wants to do in your life, it isn't always going to be fun. It isn't always going to be easy. And there will be moments that will be scary. If you're going to be able to say yes to him in those moments, you need to engage your intellect, because you need to know that you know that you know that he is good, that he is powerful, that he is with you, and you need to know what he wants. And sometimes here isn't enough. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. I don't have this written down, but it says something along the lines of, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Jesus is looking for people who will love him with all of their hearts, all of their spirit, all of their strength, and all of their minds. Are you pursuing him with all of your mind? Let me pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for the way that you have made us, the way that you have wired us. And I want to thank you that you engage with us in so many different ways. I want to thank you that you meet with us in our spirit. I want to thank you that you speak through creation. I want to thank you that you bring life to us when we serve and when we get involved in activism and caring. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have given us minds that are curious, minds that can learn, minds that can understand things. And I pray for us as a community that we will not just see ourselves as people who are in love with you, but we will see ourselves as people who know you and keep getting to know you more. I pray, Lord God, that you will challenge us and help us to see the value of worshiping you with our mind as we engage with news articles, as we engage with problems the world is facing, as we engage with questions that our friends have. Lord God, will you help us to look not just for inner peace, but will you help us to look for answers, for insights that spark conversations, that bring understanding and confirmation. Lord, make us passionate to keep growing in our understanding in all things.